James chapter number 5. Sa aklat tayo ng James, Book of James chapter 5, page 1046 sa sample Bible. James chapter number 5. At magpapatuloy tayo sa pag-aaral ng Book of James. So natuklasan natin na ang liham ni James ay para sa Church of Jerusalem at para sa mga scattered churches na itinaguyod ng Diyos sa pamamagitan ng persecution. And this epistle of James becomes stronger and stronger as we conclude. So at last chapter na ito, this will be the final chapter in the book. And so we only have 20 verses left, and we're going to look at the first 6 verses here. But I want you to know that because the book of James is so intense, na may mga commentaries, may mga Bible commentators na nagsasabi na hindi natin alam kung sino talagang kinakausap ni James. Kasi napakalupit ng language. Biro mo, sasabihin niya dito. Earlier, we saw he called them adulterers and adulteresses. Then he called them sinners. And now he's addressing corrupt, wealthy people. And this cannot possibly be born again saved people. So sa mindset talaga ng evangelical and even fundamental commentaries, sa isip nila, this cannot possibly be Christian. Well, what is he talking about here? But we are Bible believers. Hindi ho tayo fundamentalists. We are biblicists. There is a difference between a fundamentalist and a biblicist. Yung fundamentalist, historically speaking, a fundamentalist does not have biblical convictions about what Jesus Christ commands. Interesado sila sa numbers. Interesado sila sa pragmatism. Interested sila sa carnal fleshliness of pragmatism and things. Nung nagsimula ang fundamentalism 1920, at ito ay pagpupulong ng Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, etc. Lutherans. May mga Lutheran fundamentalists, just so you know. And so, ang ginawa ng mga fundamentalists, sinabi nila, itong mga limang doktrina, pag pinaniwalaan nyo itong lima, you are fundamentalists. So nakakagulat, dahil hindi lang lima ang mga katotohanan na ibinigay sa atin ng Diyos. There are hundreds of doctrinal, practical principles of the Word of God na pinaniniwalaan natin bilang biblicists. So we are more than fundamentalists. Bukod doon, may bahagi ng fundamentalists na hindi naman naniniwala sa King James Bible. Bob Jones University, Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, FBFI, pati yung BBFI, iniwan na nila yung King James. And so, hindi ho tayo katulad nun. We are biblicists. We believe that God inspired and preserved His words, and that His words have been faithfully, accurately translated in the King James Bible. And we hold this Bible and we say, this is God's Word in English. This is the Word of God. Hindi ho kayang gawin yan ng mga evangelical tsaka fundamental. And so, we do not follow the way of the world. So, who is James talking to? Well, James did not write a letter to the unsaved. You can guarantee that. Hindi niya sinulat ito sa mga kapatiran niya na hindi ligtas. Yung mga Hudyo, kapatiran sa laman, hindi kapatiran sa spirit. Dahil walang kabuluhan na magsulat ang Diyos ng liham para sa hindi saved. There's no point in writing a letter to those who are not saved. They are not interested in the church. They're not interested in hearing from God. And so we know that at least is a consideration. James did not write to the unsaved. Furthermore, James wrote to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Yung word scattered sa verse chapter 1 verse 1. Ang ibig sabihin ng scattered, pansinin niyo yung word na yon, diaspora, merong kahulugan na itinanim sila. Itinanim. Yes, iniscatter, pero kung saan sila iniscatter, sila ay itinanim ng Diyos doon. So God planted churches wherever these are, and now He's writing to them. So who is James writing to? He's writing to the church. Now, he's writing to the church in Jerusalem. He's writing to the churches that are scattered abroad, everywhere. And we can say na hindi lang ito historical book na sinulat ni James noon pa, pero kung tutuusin, sinulat din ito para sa church dito sa Tuktukan. This book is written, this James, the Epistle of James, is written to us. It is written for us and to us. So kung ano yung message ng Book of James, it's a message that we should receive as the church. This is something that we should be reading and saying, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to deal with me about? And the Spirit of God says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is teaching. And the question is, will you receive the word or will you reject the word? Let me remind you, hindi tayo na-save dahil re-reject natin yung salita ng Diyos. Tayo ay na-save, naligtas dahil tinanggap natin yung katotohanan ng salita ng Diyos. So, anong iba pang mga katotohanan na dapat na ituro sa atin na pwede nating i-reject? Ang sagot, wala. There's none. Everything that God is trying to teach us, we are to receive. We are receivers of the Word of God. Now, hindi ko, wala akong time para ipakita sa inyo. Magmula John hanggang Epistles, Acts, lahat ng makikita mo, pag nangaral ang salita ng Diyos, pinangaral ang salita ng Diyos, palagi tinatanggap yan ng mananampalataya. Ang nagre-reject lang ng katotohanan ng salita ng Diyos ay ang mananampalataya na backslider o nanlalamig o wala sa fellowship ng Panginoon at sila ay papaluin naman ng Diyos. Or, hindi siya saved. That's another possibility. Kaya hindi mo tinatanggap ang salita ng Diyos, hindi nagbabago yung buhay mo. Dahil wala ka talaga sa pananampalataya. So that's a possibility. Now, is it possible na merong unsaved na kasama sa church, na nag-a-attend sa church? Is that possible? Yes, that's possible. Is it possible na ang tao akala niya na siya ay saved pero hindi pa siya nagsisi at sumampalataya sa Panginoon? Is that possible? Absolutely. So this morning, nakita ninyo ang daming mga kabataan dito. Sa katapusan ng preaching, tinanong ko sila, sino ang hindi sure na ikaw ay saved? Ang daming kamay na nagtaas. So, malamang, I cannot judge them. I do not judge them. Pero sa nakikita ko sa salita ng Diyos at nakikita ko sa kanilang patutuo, they may not be saved. Malamang, hindi sila saved. Pero kasama natin. You see? So, it is possible in the church na merong mga unsaved. Now, ang environment ng church, dapat welcome talaga ang unsaved. We welcome them. Pero hindi pwede yung kultura ng church gumaya sa unsaved. Do you understand that? So yung pamamaraan natin, ini-inform tayo ng salita ng Diyos, hindi yung culture ang nagbibigay sa atin ng information. No? So, sa buhay, kung ano yung uso, yun ang ginagawa. Hindi ganun sa tahanan ng Diyos. Hindi uso kung ano yung uso ang gagawin natin. Ang gagawin natin kung ano ang sinasaad sa salita ng Diyos, kung ano yung tinuturo ng salita ng Diyos. Ito ang nag-i-inform sa kultura ng church. Do you see that? At kung hindi natin tatanggapin yung wisdom ng Diyos, tatanggapin talaga natin yung wisdom ng death, ng world, wisdom ng flesh, o wisdom ng demonyo. At yan ang tinuturo ni James. And so James has been teaching this. So, tinawag niya yung church member adulterer and adulteresses. So, sino yung adulterer, sino yung adulteresses? Yan yung spiritual compromiser. Ano yung spiritual compromiser? Yung hindi nagpa-practice ng holiness sa buhay. Okay? And I'm here to say, I agree with James. Na kapag ikaw ay church member, pero involved ka pa sa rock music, o sa pagsasayaw-sayaw ng malalaswa, o sa panunod ng malalaswa, you are a spiritual adulterer. And adulteress. Tress, pag babae. Rer, pag lalaki. You're adulterer. At ang sagot, hindi yung masaktan ng sarili ko, mag-feel sorry ako para sa sarili ko. No, ang sagot, magsisi. Confess your sin. Ngayon na natuklasan mo, yung music ng rock pala ay rebellion. Yung pagsasayaw-sayaw pala ay sensual. Ang sagot, hindi yung you feel sorry for yourself. No, the answer is repent. Oh Lord, ngayon ko natuklasan yan. So tulungan mo ako, linisin mo ako, bigyan mo ako ng chance, turuan mo ako kung ano ang tamang music. So I will receive your word. At magbabago yung buhay mo. And you will see change in your life. Now, so as we read James chapter 5, obviously, sa church ng Jerusalem at sa mga churches ng scattered churches, predominantly sila ng mga Hudyo. They are predominantly Jewish. And obviously, nung kapanahonan ng mga Hudyo, meron silang mga slaves. So sa kasaysayan, sa lipunan ng Bible days, slavery was real. Talagang ang turing ng tao sa tao ay property. Now, I'm not saying that is acceptable and correct. At hindi rin sinasabi ng Bible na acceptable and correct ang slavery. Pero merong gabay ang salita ng Diyos patungkol sa slavery. And the Word of God does not endorse slavery, but it sure has ways of regulating the use of slaves, the release of slaves, the treatment of slaves. And I'm telling you, yung pagtrato ng Bible sa slaves, mas generous, mas gracious, compare sa trato ng mundo sa slaves. So obviously in the church, merong slave Christian. At merong slave master na Christian. So biro mo sa labas ng church, siya ang slave, siya ang master. Pero sa loob ng church, hindi kinikilala ng church na ikaw ay slave, na ikaw ay master. Pantay kayo kay Kristo. Imagine the cultural problem. Tapos kinokorekt pa ni James yung church, kayong mayayaman. Ganito ang gawin niyo. Kayo naman church member, huwag niyo naman paboran yung mayaman. Itrato niyo yung kapatid niyo kahit na dukha siya. Kapatid pa rin siya. Itrato niyo siya ng tama. Huwag niyo husgahin ang tao sa economic status niya. Ganoon katindi ang Christianity. At hindi natuklasan ng mundong ito ang pagpalaya ng slaves maliban nang napumasok ang Christianity sa mundo. Kung hindi dumating si Jesus Christ, mas malala ang slavery ngayon kaysa sa kapanahunan ng lipunan noon. I guarantee you that. Brother Emil, pakibantay sila. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Very good. All right. All right. So, James chapter 5, verse number 1. Go to now, ye rich men. So, sino kinakausap ni James dito? Yung mga church members na rich na ginamit nila yung kanilang, nakuha nila yung kanilang yaman sa maling pamamaraan. You see that fraud. You see the word fraud there. Let's see. verse 5. Is it in verse 5? No. Verse 4. Yes. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. So, question. Pwede ba na mag-fraud ang mga Kristiyano? Yes. Ano yung fraud sa Tagalog? Pandaraya. Yes. Ang sahod ng mga manggagawa na gumapas sa inyong mga bukid na inyong ipinagkakait ay umiiyak. O, tingnan mo. Lalim ng Tagalog. Tingnan ninyo, ang sahod ng mga manggagawa na gumapas sa inyong mga bukid na inyong ipinagkakait ay umiiyak. In verse number 4, the laborers have reaped down your fields. May-ari sila ng mga fields. May mga laborers sila, pero hindi naman binayaran. Which is kept back by fraud. Cryeth! Umiyak sila. Eh, Kristiyano pa naman, kapatiran. Kanino sila umiyak? And cries of them have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Yung Lord of Sabaoth, ang ibig sabihin ng Sabaoth, hosts. The Lord of hosts. Pag sinabing Lord of hosts, yan yung Lord ng mga anghel, army of angel, army of men, at saka army ng mga insekto. Yung mga worms na kumakain ng corn ngayon. Sino kaya ang may hawak ng mga worms na yon? That is from the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. So, bagamat ang evangelical and fundamental commentaries ay hindi nagsasabi na hindi ito pwede sa mga Kristiyano, this is impossible. I'm here to tell you, pag hindi mo iningatan yung buhay mo bilang mananampalataya, you can commit all kinds of sin. All kinds of sin. And that is a biblical assessment. So, let's pray. Tapos tingnan natin kung ano ang cure ng Panginoon or yung wisdom ng Diyos na para mawala ang kainggitan, ang pagnanais ng ang kasakiman, at ang pagnanakaw ng church members. Let's pray and ask God to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank you for your words. We pray that we would look into the scriptures, that we would examine it according to the context and according to the proper interpretation. And the most important part is the application. Help us to enter into the truths of scripture, and the Holy Spirit would be our guide and our teacher. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, go to now, ye rich men. So, sa Bible, hindi ho kasalanan yung mayaman. Porque mayaman ka. That doesn't mean you are in sin. But, how you gain your riches is important to God. Kung paano mo nakuha yung wealth mo, yun importante yun sa Diyos. Kasi kung nakuha mo yung wealth mo sa pamamagitan ng, ano yung Tagalog word? Fraud? Pandaraya, that's right. Kung nakuha mo yung kayamanan mo sa pamamagitan ng pandaraya or sa pagtapak sa tao, lalo na yung dukha at mahihirap, lagot ka sa Diyos. You are in trouble with God. And it is possible to be a member of a biblical Baptist church and commit fraud. Ngayon, siguro natuklasan ni James, na-observe ni James, ni Pastor James, habang pumapasok yung mga Christian slave master at saka yung Christian slave sa loob ng church, nakikita niya. Ah, tingnan mo yung mga wealthy Christian masters. Dito sila nakaupo sa harap. Tingnan mo naman yung mga Christian brethren slaves nandun sa likod. And sabi ni James, in essence, James is saying, this is not how it is in the kingdom of God. Yung greatest sa inyo, dapat yung nagsaserve. You see? And this is the same teaching. Jesus Christ taught the same thing. Now, hindi ito ang first time na binanggit ni James ang patungkol sa rich and wealthy church members. Go over to chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse number 10. James, again, ganyan talaga ang style ni James. Magsasalita siya ng konti patungkol sa isang topic, tapos mag-expand siya later. And so, he mentioned wealth already and riches in chapter 1, verse number 10. Look at chapter 1, verse number 10, page 1044. Chapter 1, verse number 10. But the rich, in that he is made low, mag-rejoice daw yung rich, na siya ay pinakumbaba ng Diyos, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Okay? So may dulong wakas din yung rich, may dulong wakas din yung poor. So it doesn't matter if you have all the money in the world, pag oras mo na talaga, hindi pwedeng i-extend ng buhay mo, ng kayamanan mo. And so, mag-rejoice ka na lang na ikaw ay hinumble ng Diyos na nakita mo ang katotohanan, tinanggap mo si Jesus Christ, nagsisi ka, at ikaw ay nag-baptize na sumali ka sa church, at ngayon pwede kang gamitin ng Diyos sa kanyang kaharian and to His glory. Look at chapter 2, verse number 1. Chapter 2, verse number 1. So mag-expound na naman si James patungkol sa rich. James chapter 2, verse number 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. If there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and a goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in a vile raiment, and have not respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place. Say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. So, nag-instruct siya hanggang verse number 7. Nag-instruct siya kung anong dapat gawin. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, hindi dapat tinitingnan ng tao, ng Christian yung social economic status ng tao pagdating sa fellowship ng church. You understand that? Okay? So, hindi ho tayo nai-impress kapag ang tao ay maganda ang suot niya. Hindi rin tayo na-depress pag yung tao hindi naman maganda yung suot niya. That has to do with your economic status. At sa economy ng Diyos, hindi niya tinitingnan yung rich, yung poor. Ang hinahanap ng Diyos, faith! God's looking for faith. Mayaman ka ba sa faith? Are you rich in faith? That's the important thing. Look at verse 15, chapter 2, James chapter 2, verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not of those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So again, James is teaching the church, hey, do something. To answer the poverty of the church members, help them. Ayaw ng Diyos na manatiling poverty ang mga church members. And it should never be that way. By the way, kung sa isip mo ikaw ay poverty, may paraan ang Diyos para hindi ka manatili sa poverty. Did you know that? God has provided a way, ang gawin mo lang, basahin mo mula Genesis hanggang Revelation, at pag-aralan mo ang wealth ng scriptures. Matutuklasan mo doon kung paano mag-give, kung paano mag-tithe, kung paano magbigay ng free will offering, kung paano magbigay ng almsgiving, kung paano pwede kang mag-save, pwede kang mag-invest, pwede kang mag-spend wisely, pwede kang gumawa ng sarili mong business, and so on and so forth, at hindi ma-violate yung scriptures. Ibig sabihin, you can work a job that doesn't violate the Word of God. You can do that. And you will see how God will bless you. You can see that. Wala, hindi naman exclusive yung wisdom ng Diyos sa pastor lang, sa missionary lang, o sa select few. No, the wisdom that God gives is for all men liberally to them who ask Him. Ang problema lang, pag humingi ka ng wisdom sa Diyos, tapos sinabihan ka kung ano yung wisdom, hindi mo gamitin yung wisdom ng Diyos. Oh, And so there is a warning dito sa James chapter 5. Look over in verse chapter 5. Now, so we're going to expand on the rich man. The rich but corrupt man who happens to be a member of the Jerusalem Baptist Church. Rich men, plural. So hindi lang isa. So, malaking church ba yung Church of Jerusalem? I think so. And I think na tinanggal nila sa pwesto yung church member na ito, kaya naghirap ang Church of Jerusalem. Natatandaan ba ninyo, isa sa mga missions ni Paul ay tulungan niya yung church na pinersecute niya. Nangulekta siya ng collection sa mga churches, tapos dadali niya yung pera. Saan? Sa Jerusalem Church. Siguro, nagalit yung mga rich men. Iniwan nila yung church. I'm just guessing. Kasi, you know, probably because of chapter 5. You know, James probably lost church members. Rich church members left. Kaya ang mga problema ng mga churches, sabihin ko talaga sa inyo, rich men ang mga problema ng mga churches. Kasi pag pumasok na yung rich, kontrolado na nila yung pastor. Hindi na pangangaral yung pastor ng ganito. Go to now, you rich man. Weep, howl, your misery shall come unto you. Pambira itong biblical teacher, preacher. Si Pastor James, ang tindi naman niya. Sasabi ng rich man, no, hindi ko tatanggapin yung word na ito. Halika na kayo, yung mga slave members. Sumama na kayo sa akin. Alis na kami dyan. Yung mga slave members naman, may choice. Nako. Slave naman, master. Master, dito lang muna ako. I will fire you. Ay, salamat. Fire me now. Hindi, pugutan ko yung ulo mo. Heaven na lang ako. I'll be in heaven. Anyway, what a conundrum. What a problem. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl, for your misery shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten. Pambira. Sa riches, yung kayamanan ninyo, corrupted. Nakita na ba kayo ng corrupted na pera? Yung pera na linagay sa isang lugar tapos na, na mold? Ano yung mold? Naamag. Nakita na ba kayo ng ganon? Yung pera na naamag na talaga. Buti nga yung bank na maawa pa rin, na pinapalitan pa rin yun. Kung makahanap pa kayo ng bank na ganon. But he calls them their riches corrupted. Garments moth-eaten. Nakakita na ba kayo ng garments na napakaganda, kaya lang may butas? Dahil sa moth. Your gold and your silver is cankered. Kinakain. And rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall all your flesh as it were fire. Kinain na, pati yung laman ninyo na parang nasunog kayo sa apoy. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Naku, nag-ipon nga kayo. Kaya lang, ang inipon ninyo, treasure against you on the last day. See, kung gusto mong matuto kung paano mag-ipon, mag-interview kayo ng mayaman na marunong mag-ipon. O, paano kayo nag-iipon sa isang buwan? How do you do that? Well, you can use a cash system. Marunong kayo mag-envelope, cash envelope. O, itong envelope, pupunuin ko pang gas. Itong envelope, pang pagkain. Itong envelope, pang emergency. Itong envelope, So, you get your food, your gas. Ito pang utilities. Electric, water. Lalagyan mo yan kada buwan. Ito, tithe. Ito, offering. Lalagyan mo yan kada buwan. Cash lang, ha? Cash system. Pag sa gas, hindi ka nag-gas masyado, nagtipid ka, yung buwan na yon extra yon. Kasi hindi mo ginalaw yon. Pwede mo siyang ilagay sa ibang envelope na nangangailangan. Or, pwede mo siyang ilagay sa savings. Or sa emergency fund. Ganun yun. Kada buwan. So, maghihigpit ka ng konti. sa food fund, huwag ka munang kumain masyado ng ano. O, konti lang. O, so sa pagkalipas ng buwan, meron ka pang konti, pwede mong gamitin yan kung saan mo kailangan. So hindi ka naghihiram, hindi ka humihingi. You're just working your job, you're doing your envelope system, and it works. Yun, mabuti pa. And so, marunong ka mag-ipon. No? Ang problema talaga, pag binayaran ka ng sahod, one day millionaire. Bili ako nito, bili ako ng gano'n. Okay? Bili. Walang natira. That is poor economic practice. And so, God is concerned for these things, pero dito, tinututukan ng Diyos yung corrupt na mayaman na church member. Verse number 4, behold, the hire of laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. Well, they cried unto the Lord. They're Christians. They're church members. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. So, narinig ng Diyos yung mga pananalangin ng mga members na dukha. And how you treat them, how you treat one another, comes before the throne of God. He sees everything. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, sabi ni James, and been wanton. May kakulangan kayo. Yes, lahat ng kailangan nyo, sagot. Pero may kulang pa rin kayo. Ye have nourished your hearts, pero as in the day of slaughter. Pinataba ninyo yung puso ninyo. Kaya lang, patungo kayo sa, ano yung slaughter? Katayan. Patungo kayo naman sa katayan. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. So yung ginawa ninyo, kinondemn ninyo, tsaka pinatay ninyo, yung matuwid. And he did not resist you. At hindi naman siya lumaban sa inyo. So, kaya sinasabi ko, yung mga evangelical fundamentals, sabi nila, this cannot be saved. Pero hindi yan totoo, kasi magmula chapter 1 hanggang ngayon, ang kausap niya ay hindi nagbago. It is still the church. So it is possible na sa church, magkaroon tayo ng mga members na living in sin. Now, pinayagan ba ni James? Chinallenge ba ni James? Tinutukan ba ni James yung kasalanan nila? O pinabayaan na lang ni James? What do you think? James confronted the church members. Lininisan niya, linilinis niya yung church. And this is church discipline. Ito yung sinasabi ni Brother RJ kaninang umaga. Ang church na hindi nagpa-practice ng church discipline ay walang kabuluhan. So kung papayagan ko, halimbawa, ikaw, mag-business ka, nagtitinda ka ng alak, church member ka dito, halimbawa lang, example, this is a hypothetical. You open a business and you're selling liquor, alcohol, beer, wine, sama mo na yung marijuana, drugs. Tapos, ako nangangaral, ikaw nandito ka sa church, nakikita kita, alam ko nagtitinda ka ng alak, sigarilyo, alcohol, or whatever. Tapos, hello, brothers! Praise God! I hope you feel happy today. Do you need the victory? Rejoice! Yun na lang, feel good! What are your burdens? You don't have customers? Oh, let's pray that they will drink. No, baluktot na yun. That is unbiblical and twisted. No, ang maririnig ninyo, let's open to James chapter 5. Oh, ngayon kayo, you are rich men, you need to weep and howl for your misery shall come upon you. Bibisitahin ka ng Diyos ng humagulgol dahil sa mga kahirapan na sa inyo'y darating. Dadalhin ng Diyos ang kahirapan sa buhay mo. Bakit? Dahil yumayaman ka sa paggawa ng mali. Do you see that? Oh, kayo, mayroon bang umaasa dito na maging waiter, waitress sa restaurant? Oh, pag humingi yung customer ng beer, anong sasabihin mo? Ikaw, waiter, waitress ka. Eh, hindi naman ako, ano, yun ang order nila. Ako lang yung tameme na kukuha ng order nila para sa kanila. Tameme lang ako. That's not acceptable to God. Kasi sabi ng Habakkuk, well, woe unto them that give men drink. So pati pala pagwa-waitress, waiter, stewards sa aeroplano, do you think pleasing to God pag humingi yung first class customer ng wine? I want some wine. O ikaw, Kristiyano ka, anong sasabihin mo? Sure. Oh, ganun ba yun? So you have to evaluate, no? I'm telling you this now kasi balang araw magkakaroon kayo ng trabaho. I want you to know, hindi kayo asweldo sa Diyos dahil may trabaho kayo. Kailangan yung trabaho ninyo matuwid. Hindi sangkot sa sistema ng bulok na mundong ito. And this is true. This is exactly what was going on in James's day. So, ang payo niya, how, weep and how, ang sinasabi niya doon, mag-repent kayo. Kayong mga church members na gumagawa ng bulok, weep and howl. Ang weeping at saka howling, outward expression ng internal repentance. So, ang habol ni James talaga, sinasabi niya, mag-repent kayo. Huwag kayong ganyan. And so, the riches are corrupt, the garments are moth-eaten, the gold and silver is cankered. Riches are rust, it shall be a witness against them. Their riches will be devoured by fire, the riches are heaped treasures for the last day. Imagine sa last days. Ano yung last days? Yan yung day of Christ. Na ikaw ay Kristiyano at church member at haharap ka sa trono ng Diyos balang araw. By the way, did you know that the judgment seat of Christ ay yung patutunguhan ng bawat Kristiyano? We are going to face Jesus Christ at the judgment seat. Tatanungin ka ng Panginoon, paano mo ginugol yung pera na binigay ko sa'yo? How did you steward my money? How did you steward my education, my opportunities that I gave you? How did you steward it? How did you steward time that I gave you? How did I steward the body that I gave you? And so all of these are against the corrupt church member. Ang utos niya, verse number 4. There's a command in verse number 4. Behold. So yan ang unang utos niya. There's the command, behold. That means you are to see this. You are to observe this. You are to grab this by your eyes and look. It says here, behold, you have stolen wages for their laborers. Oh. You are unfair. You are corrupt. You, instead of compensating labor accordingly, dinaya mo sila. So, God sees that. And that is important to Him. They have lived in the pleasures of life. They have gone fat. And now they're ready for slaughter. They have condemned and killed the just, yan yung church member na matuwid, na hindi naman nila kinompensate ng tama na namatay dahil sa kanilang kasalanan. So you see, James did not hide from his responsibility as a pastor to pastor the church to make sure that they are following the Lord. So ganun. Paano mo alam na nasa biblical church ka? Pag yung pastor nangangaral ng biblical. Pag nangangaral siya ng biblical, ay talagang tatamaan ka sa message somewhere, somehow. Na hindi naman sinasadya, Pero kinakailangan para maging matuwid ang paglakad mo sa harap ng Diyos.
Pastor James is preaching hard and direct, calling out sin and sinning members of the Jerusalem Baptist Church and the scattered churches. Obviously because it was a problem in the church at Jerusalem and in other churches.
So sikat talaga sa mga Hudyo yung mga mayayaman na Hudyo na itrato, maltrato yung mga hinahire nila
as apparently the culture of the Jewish believers. And then God hears the prayer of the poor and the oppressed.
So tingnan mo naman ang Panginoon. Naririnig niya yung panaghoy ng mahihirap at nangangailangan ng tulong.
And there is a divine judgment for everyone. Everyone. Whether you are saved,
kung saved ka, ano yung judgment na hinaharap mo? Anong judgment ang tawag doon?
Judgment seat of Christ.
Kung hindi ka saved, ano yung judgment na hinaharap mo?
Great White Throne Judgment.
Now, yung Great White Throne Judgment, yan ay para sa hindi saved. Lahat ng mga kaluluwa na namatay ngayon at ng mga nakaraan na hindi saved, nasa isang temporary place sila, ang tawag doon, impyerno. Yung impyerno nandito sa gitna ng mundo natin is under the earth. Yung center ng mundo natin, by the way, ay sphere. Alam ba ninyo yung sphere? Yung sphere? Paikot-ikot lang yung center ng mundo natin at saka apoy. It's a small lake of fire. It's a bottomless pit. If you fall down, you will find the end. Walang katapusan. Well, hindi ka, there's no stopping your fall. Kasi sphere nga siya eh. Pagdating sa Great White Throne Judgment, lahat ng nasa impyerno, ilalabas niya, bubuhay niya yung katawan mo at yung kaluluwa mo na nandun sa impyerno, isasama niya. Ngayon, haharap ka ng buong buo, body, soul, and spirit, sa iyong manlilikha, at dadaling ka niya sa isang dagat-dagatang apoy. By the way, meron bang dagat-dagatang apoy? Is there such a thing as a lake of fire? Sabi ng iba, I've never seen a lake of fire. O, di bulag ka. Kasi yung araw ay isang napakalaking lake of fire. Tingnan mo yung araw. Ano yung araw? The sun. Alam mo ba, medium star lang ang sun? Scientifically, the sun is a medium star. May mas malaki pang mga stars kesa sa star natin. There are bigger stars in the universe than this star. So, iyan ay isang dagat-dagatang apoy. Alam mo ba kung ilang earth ang pwedeng ilagay sa sun? Do you know how many earth can fit in the sun?
300, I believe, million earths can fit in the sun. Was it 300 earth or 3 million earths? I don't know. Ask Google. Google knows everything.
So, biro mo, kaya pa, ika-asya pala ang mundo natin ng ilang milyon sa earth, sa sun? Tapos sasabihin mo, walang dagat-dagatang apoy? Oh no. Basahin mo yung Isaiah 66. Let's go to Isaiah 66.
Look at Isaiah 66. The last verse in the book of Isaiah.
Anong nangyayari doon sa mga kaluluwa na nasa lake of fire?
Well, look at Isaiah 66. And this is the last verse in Isaiah 66. The last verse in Isaiah 66 is verse number 24. And this explains what the lake of fire will be like in the future.
Tingnan mo ah.
And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh.
So anong ibig sabihin niyan, Brother Bill? Ganito yon. Habang yung mga saved nasa New Jerusalem, yung mga unsaved nasa labas ng Jerusalem at minamasdan ng mga saved. At nakikita natin yung kanilang katawan ay hindi nalulusaw sa isang dagat-dagatang apoy.
Now, kung binabasa mo yung aklat ng Revelation, hindi gagamitin natin yung araw. Kasi yung sinag ng Panginoon ng buong New Jerusalem, yan ang sinag ng buong bagong mundo. So, hindi natin gagamitin yung araw. There's no need for the sun. Because we have the greater glory of Jesus Christ in the New Jerusalem. What do you think is the lake of fire? I believe it's the sun. And I believe that in the New Jerusalem, we will be able to look into that lake of fire and see these transgressors, their worm dies not and their fire is not quenched. Saan nakuha ni Jesus yung doctrine na yon? Sa Isaiah pala. So I'm here to say there is judgment. Kaya mag-prepare na tayo. Kung ikaw hindi ka saved, you need to get saved. Para maiwasan mo yung lake of fire. At kung ikaw ay saved, ayusin mo na yung lakad mo sa Diyos para pagharap natin sa Panginoon, hindi tayo mapapahiya. Amen?
Amen?
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the message of your word. We thank you, Lord, that a biblical church has the tools to correct sin and error and confront church members that are in sin, pastors that are in sin, anybody that is in sin. The Word of God is our light and guide and will guide us into all truths, and that we don't have to follow a system developed by man. We can follow the Word of God, the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path, who guides us and speaks to us in instruction. Help us to evaluate how we use our time and our wealth and our treasures. Help us to become godly, rich men, rich women, spirit-filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit, blessed by God to walk in the ways of the Lord in this world. Help us not to be proud, boasters, envious, filled with the flesh. And help us not to be worldly. Help us not to be devilish. Help us to apply the wisdom of God in our everyday life. And that we'll turn around and give you praise, honor, and glory for how you instruct us and teach us. And help us to warn others, Lord, of that lake of fire. While there is chance, help us to be a witness, a testimony, a faithful witness to point people to Jesus Christ before it's too late. We ask that you bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.